for a moment. Thank you for your living word to us today. Thank you. I pray now that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, will be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So, I'm going to put our reading into a little context. Peter and John, in Acts chapter 3, right at the beginning of the early church, had healed a crippled man at the Gate Beautiful. You will remember that story, I imagine, some of you. And the crowd went wild. And the religious leaders panicked, as we often do. And they were like, okay, we've got to sort something out here. We have got something going on. They had made a rumpus. And Peter and John were arrested by the church leaders. I sometimes wonder if I've got that power, but I don't think I have at the moment. I probably have somewhere in law, but they arrested them and they took them away and they interrogated them. And they said to Peter and John, we're going to set you free, we're going to release you, but don't ever talk about Jesus again. And Peter and John said, well, you could say that to us. We could listen to God, or we could listen to you. What do you think we're going to do? So quite a defiant attitude as they are released by the church leaders. And that you can read all about that up to verse 22 in chapter 4. And then we read this. It's the first recorded prayer, the words of the first recorded prayer of the corporate church together. And it is the longest recorded prayer in the book of Acts. I love little things like that. They're released, don't talk about Jesus ever again. And we are asking the question today, what happened next? What happened next? And so we've had this reading. And what happens next is the church prays. That might not be what we might expect to hear happening. The church prays. They pray in response to God. They pray in recognition of God. And they pray a request that is quite surprising to God. A prayer in response to all that God has done, first of all. In the message, the paraphrase of these words says, as soon as Peter and John were let go, they went to their friends and told them. Hearing the report, they lifted their voices in a wonderful harmony of prayer. As I say, this is the first words of the first recorded prayer of this newly born spirit-filled church. And Peter and John went and told them everything that had happened. And in response to all that God had done, he'd healed a man. He'd looked after them through this unfair, unjust trial. They'd been released back again. They hadn't been kept in. And in response to God's faithfulness for all he had done to Peter and John, they lifted their voices in a wonderful harmony of prayer. Don't you love that phrase? A wonderful harmony of prayer. The beautiful thing about harmony is you've got to have different notes. You can't just have one note to sing in harmony. If anyone's musical here, you'll know it's very difficult to sing a solo in harmony. You need more than one voice. And so they are together in response to all that God has done. And what we see here is Peter and John go back to their friends. And throughout the Acts of the Apostles and throughout the New Testament, in fact, there's this Greek word, koinonia, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. I don't even know how to spell it. Does anyone know what it means? Some of you will. Fellowship, yes. Does anyone know what fellowship means? Because, I mean, we use that word, don't we? I'm just going to say. Yes, weak tea and broken biscuits. Love it. He's said that one before, hasn't he? Fellowship isn't just that cup of tea out there, which, of course, is always much nicer than that in Rington. Sometimes it's gin and tonic, you know. It's that one another, caring for one another, that you read all the way through the New Testament. Love one another. Forgive one another. Bear one another up. All those one another verses that you hear is fellowship. And Paul, Peter and John come away from this thing that had gone on, this explosion of activity, of God's healing, and then this interrogation, and then this instruction, do not talk about Jesus anymore. And they come away and they tell their friends. They tell the ones who walking with Jesus as they are. They tell their friends, and their friends pray with them. I love that. That, my friends, is fellowship in action. And the mystery of corporate prayer, of that raising a harmony of prayer together, the mystery is it is always greater than the sum of the people meeting. Whenever we meet two or three in the name of Jesus, he is there in the midst. And if you have experience of praying with other people, you will know that the mystery of corporate prayer is that it is greater than the sum of the people who are praying. For the last 20 years, I have had a regular event pretty much every week, more than 20 years, 23 years now, pray with J and R. For 15 years of that, from 2000 to 2015, I prayed with Jim and Rosemary. Pray with J&R in my diary. They were members of my church and we prayed most weeks. There was always weeks, holidays and things like that, but we prayed together regularly. 15 years, pray with J&R. When I moved to Burnham-on-Sea, that was one of the things that I missed, was praying with two friends that I'd known for a long time. But you know what? God's pretty good. Because it occurred to me the other day that for the last seven, nearly 8 years, I have been praying with J and R weekly in my diary. And I realised it's the same. It's not the same. It's not Jim and Rosemary. It's dear Jane, who some of you know well, and our friend Ruth. Jane and Ruth. J and R. Isn't that amazing? So for 23 years, I've been praying with people, J and R. And then, when I said this in church the other day, someone afterwards said to me, Dawn, you've been praying with people for 57 years. Because my mum are Janet and Rodney. I like that. Who are we praying with? And how are we praying with other people? Have you got a J&R date in your diary? House groups. I love your WhatsApp idea. What a great idea. How does that come together sometimes? I don't know, maybe it doesn't. How do we pray with other people? It was lovely today to pray with people here. Thank you. You know, just how we encourage one another in prayer. The first thing the church did was pray in response to all that God had done. Let me encourage you to work out a place and a time in your diary, every now and again, to pray with others. Let's make the effort in response to all that God has done. And they prayed a prayer in recognition of God. Verses 24 through to 28, we hear that God is called Sovereign Lord. He is the creator, and they look at creation, who created heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. And then they go on to Bible references. They talk about Psalm chapter 2 is quoted here. And sometimes when you're praying, you might be reminded of a little Bible verse and you pray it out loud. They talk about the Holy Spirit at work in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. There's this story about Pontius Pilate and Herod. I do think it's quite amusing in this little prayer that They're praying to God and they sort of tell God what's happened. They sort of say, oh, and then there was that moment, wasn't there, when Pontius Pilate and Herod and everyone, and they crucified you. Do you remember that? You know, and they're sort of telling God what happened. I do it all the time. I'm telling God, but I'm also telling the other people in the room, because sometimes they need to be reminded of the good things that God has done. And so they're sort of, they're pulling, and if you like, they're pulling on the media stories of the day. This is current. This isn't back in 2,000 years ago. This is current for them. They're pulling on the media stories of the day. And so there's this brilliant different approaches in this prayer. Creative, inspiring, remembering the odds, the fabulous victories that God has given over the years. They acknowledge creation and they acknowledge the mystery of history. And the main thing that comes out of this is that their God is big. Sovereign Lord. The word in Greek, you didn't know you were going to have a Greek lesson today, did you? Is despote. Does that remind you of a word that we use? I don't know how I feel about calling God despote. Sovereign Lord. Undisputable power. Is that a comfortable description for me? And yet, have I made God too small? Have I made him pocket size? Have you ever ordered anything off of the internet and it's come through a completely different size than you expected? I had a guest in the other day and she pulled out this huge great big Bible. Looking it up, she was proud of her new Bible. She said, I thought it was going to be a pocket Bible to carry in my handbag. She said, it came with a slightly different size than what I expected. It was very amusing, bless her. Oh, sorry, I treat it with respect. Have I made God pocket size God? Have I forgotten that he is sovereign Lord? Tamed him. Yes, my friends, God is love. God is steadfast love. He is mercy and grace and generosity. And within that, he is holy and he is sovereign. And prayer realigns my heart to his greatness, instead of him realigning into my pocket. Prayer on my knees. God right back on the top. And my friends, because their God was sovereign Lord, because their God was big, it meant they could face whatever was coming with confidence. When we make God small to fit in our ways, we're not making him any bigger than us. Why should we trust him? They knew they could trust their God, sovereign Lord. And incidentally, things don't get a lot easier for them if you read through Acts. But God is big. And so they pray in response to God. They pray in recognition of how big God is. And then they give a surprising, remarkable prayer request to God. Because I wonder, if something turns up on our WhatsApp, how we pray. If someone says, I've been bullied, I've been treated unfairly, I've been arrested, I've been intimidated, I wonder how we would pray. And I suspect for myself, I would pray some prayers of protection. I would pray some prayers of changing of circumstances, that things would get easier for the person. We pray those prayers, don't we? That isn't the request that the church made in this situation. We don't hear a request to God for revenge. We don't hear a request for power in the church to be increased so that we can beat these people. Or safety or protection. What we hear is a church praying for boldness. Don't talk about Jesus ever again. Jesus, give us the boldness to speak about you. Wow. And they pray for this fearless courage to carry on speaking about Jesus. If you'll forgive my Margaret Thatcher quote, this church was not for turning. This new church, they were not risk averse. They were out to give it a go. They were recognized, if you read verse 13, by their boldness. And it seems as though in these first four chapters of Acts and throughout Acts, one of the signs of being filled with the Holy Spirit is boldness. We see bold speeches and courageous actions, and they're quite out of character to these men and women who were afraid over here when the crucifixion and the resurrection was going on, and we see people running away fearful. The Holy Spirit has transformed lives with boldness. And I wonder, is this a mark of our congregations today? Or does fear grip us? Fear of upsetting each other or society or our community? Fear of division because we've got past hurts in church life? Fear of getting it wrong? This new church were praying for boldness to talk about Jesus. And my friends, holy boldness is not about power or arrogance or dogmatic control or dominance. That's not what boldness is. Boldness is the courage and the confidence and the daring to be different, to speak up the truth when there is injustice, to radically get involved with the poor or the marginalised, taking risks, a bit like going on a log flume, probably. And I wonder what boldness, holy boldness, might look like in this congregation. I wonder what it might look like for us as a group of people to be filled with the Holy Spirit with boldness, to be out there in Rington, in our world this week, in those places perhaps where we have made God small and hidden away a bit ourselves, to pray, Sovereign Lord, you are big, give me your holy boldness. To speak up, to care for those people who are on the margins, who in church, in village life, make a nuisance of themselves. How do we love them? How do we share Jesus with them? What does that look like, I wonder? Who knows what we might do if we were filled with boldness? And, my friends, God answers the prayer. The room shakes. Again, theme park. When was the last time any room shook when I was praying with a group of people? Lord, shake the room. Do I want to pray that? What would the fabric committee say? The early church would not settle for the ordinary. They prayed together and totally expected Sovereign Lord God to act. Prayer resets us together, and it resets us to expect big things from our big God above all powers in this world. We live in a world where we can look around us and we can feel very small and powerless. We don't have all the answers, but we know a God who does. And when we acknowledge he is Sovereign Lord, we know we can trust him. He's got this. He's got our back. He's holding this world in the palm of his hands. Come on, Lord. Prayer begins with renewed perspective of God, mystery and majesty beyond our understanding and bigger than our imagination. And I wonder if we may be living a bit in fear in any way today, if you're nervous or if you're facing intimidation in any way or a difficult choice that you're not sure about. Here's a little plan of action from Acts chapter 4. Tell your friends, your good Christian friends. Pray together. Start in that prayer by declaring Sovereign Lord, Creator of all, and then ask him, fill me with boldness to be your disciple today. My friends, let's give the fabric team a heart attack by asking God to shake the room. No. Let's say a little prayer together, shall we, as we close this. And we're going to be praying for our world in a few minutes after our next song. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you for the experience of these people that we can hear about, so human, and yet filled with you in ways which are inspiring to us. Will you come, Holy Spirit, into our lives today, into our congregation, into churches around the world today? Will you come, Holy Spirit, with that boldness, that gracious boldness, that generous boldness, that holy boldness that will enable us to be your disciples in the world, choosing your ways, walking in your ways. Inspire us today. May our vision of you grow big again today, sovereign Lord God.